tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, good morning. Before we get into things, I just want to say humbly and from the bottom of my heart, every single week, I am absolutely blown away that anyone shows up to church. And so thank you guys so much for being here. It means a lot to me and a lot to us, and we are better together. And so we're so honored that you're here. And so I want you guys to give yourselves a hand for being at church today. Give it up for yourselves. It's awesome. Well, today we're continuing our series entitled To the Core. And I'm asking that you make this series a priority. I hope that you make every week a priority, but I want you to make this series especially a priority because we are looking at and discussing and talking about who we are as a church. And if you're brand new to Next Level, this is incredibly important for you because at the end of this series, you get to decide, is this a place that I want to be a part of? Is this a place that I want to give back to, that I want to serve, that I want to be in community with the people that are there? And there's the truth is that some new people who are listening to this series, when we get to the end of it, you're going to say, you know what, that stuff was good, but that's not the church that God's calling me to be a part of. And that's okay. We want to make sure that everybody, every, especially Christian, is at a church that can help them love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And if it's not Next Level, we want to help you get there. But if Next Level is your church, and you would say, you know what, I'm an owner here, this is the place that I go, I give back, this is an important series for you because it's going to help make sure that you are in alignment with who we are. Because the church is not a pastor, and the church is not one person. The church is a body of people who've come together, and we've come together to say we align our lives and align what we do around the same similar ideas. So we learned last week what core values are. Core values are the root beliefs that a person or organization operates from. They are the principal perspectives that guide a person or organization's behavior with others. Almost every organization has core values because there's a lot of great things that we could be a part of. There's a lot of great things that we could do that any organization could do. But at some point, the organization had to say, we can't do it all. We can't be all things to all people. So let's narrow it down to a few things that we are going to prioritize. And these core values are going to help us make decisions. They're going to help us know how to interact with people. And they're going to help us do what we say we're called to do. And last week, we had a little bit of fun. I shared some core values from real organizations, and I wanted to have a little bit of fun again and share with you a core value. This is a real core value pulled straight from an organization's website, and what I want you to do is after I read this, I want you just to shout out, what organization do you think would have this as their core value? Here is the core value. Dream big, and then they define what they mean by that. We believe in the unlimited potential that lies within all people, and we are committed to providing opportunities for people to achieve their dreams. What organization do you think would have that as a core value? Just shout it out. Achievable dream. Okay, that's a good guess. Someone said Walmart. Anyone else? Just shout it out there. Who do you think helps people achieve their dreams? Target. That's a good guess. Good guess. Google. That is an amazing guess. No one guessed the right organization. The right organization that has this as their core value is Arby's. Like, please hear me on this. There is nothing wrong with working at Arby's. But who goes to work for Arby's because they want to achieve their dreams? Like, who is sitting there and saying, you know what, for the next 50 years, what I want to do is I want to make roast beef sandwiches. That's my dream. Who has it? Now, I could understand if this was Google. I could understand if it was Nike. If it was Apple, I could understand it. But dream big, like a better core value for Arby's would be it's a meal that is a dare for your colon. That's the core value that everyone could get behind. My friend Jamie ate at an Arby's one time, and about an hour or less afterwards, his appendix started hurting, and he had to have his appendix removed, and it has no correlation with eating at Arby's, but he says that it does, and that was like 20 years ago, and he still hasn't eaten an Arby's since then. But Arby's does have good curly fries, though. Can we all agree on that? They have really good curly fries. But here's the thing. I don't want us to be the Arby's church who has a core value, and then when everyone hears it, they laugh, and they say, no, that doesn't match who you are. I want us to be a church that when people hear about our core values, when they hear what we prioritize, they say, you know what, that makes sense. When I meet people that go to Next Level, they live that out. When I visit services, they live that out. When I go to their website, it matches who they say that they are. And so last week, we kicked it off with the first core value, which is start with God and the rest will follow. And this is an important core value because as an organization, we're not just a business. We're not like other companies. We are a church. And as a church, the church is not a person, it's people. And this is a core value that not one person can do. It's a core value that all of us have to do. And what if everybody that called Next Level their church took Jesus at his word and literally started with God every day? What would happen? Jesus promised that if we start with God, the rest will follow. Well, what will follow? Everything else. You start with God, he lines up and puts everything else into perspective. So what would happen if literally we started our day, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you did is say, hey, God, I want to give you my day. What would happen if before you voted in an election, you said, God, how should I vote? What would happen if before you made a decision, you said, God, I'm starting with you. Speak to me, direct me. What do you want me to do, God? And watch, he'll lead you. The rest really will follow. Well, this week, the core value that we're going to discuss is authenticity matters. Authenticity matters. This is probably the core value that is quoted the most about Next Level. It's the one that is said at least the most often to me. It is also the one that is misused the most. So I'm very excited to get in and to explain, what does it mean? What do we mean when we say authenticity matters? The big idea for today, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, the big idea is simply this: authenticity matters. If you're taking notes, it's a pretty easy thing to remember. You can take a picture of it on the screen or feel free to write it down. Our scripture that is going to guide us is written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul is a primetime player in the scriptures. He's incredibly important to us because he wrote over half of what we call the New Testament. One of the things, though, that I love about Paul is that Paul is a guy with a past. Paul is a guy who didn't always believe in Jesus. Paul remembers what it's like to live without Jesus. He's a guy that knows what it's like to struggle. He was actually on his way to persecute Christians when he met Jesus in a vision, and Jesus radically changed his life. He went from persecuting Christians to leading this Christian movement. So if you've ever been a Christian who has said, you know what, I remember my past. I remember what it was like before Jesus. Or if you're a Christian who says, you know what, I know what it's like to struggle. I love Jesus, but I have some struggle. You will love Paul because that's who Paul is. And Paul writes a letter to some Christians living in an area called Ephesus. And he encourages them with a thought that I think is so profound and so important for us. And it's going to lead us in our discussion today. At Next Level, we want to honor the text, and we do that by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. And when we get to the reference, we like to have a little bit of fun. Ephesians 4, you'll see two dots between the 4 and the 22. We like to put our hands into it and say dot, dot. It's just a little fun, silly thing that we do here. You're welcome to join us along. We read with me nice and loud. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, dot, dot, 22 and 24. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you, and we ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask, God, that you would just whisper the thing that we need to hear, each and every one of us, that we would take a word that is directed from you, and we ask, God, that you would give us the courage to live it out and to do it. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So authenticity means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Authenticity is a big word, especially in our culture today. There is a huge push that says you need to be your authentic self, that it's incredibly important to be your authentic self. Well, there's two questions that if you're a Christian, you need to ask about authentic self. And the first question is what is my authentic self? What is my authentic self? When someone says, be true to your authentic self, what does that mean? Because there's a lot of conflicting things that live inside of me. So how do I know which one to choose? Like, for example, if you've known me for any amount of time, it's no secret that I don't like the beach. I'm not a fan of the beach. If you like the beach, we can disagree and still be friends. I respect people that like the beach. I just don't get it. The beach is incredibly uncomfortable. And when I sit at the beach, I have these thoughts. And I start thinking about who was the very first person that came up with the idea to hang out at the beach? Like before it was normal, who was the person that said, you know what looks fun? Every time I'm cooking something in the oven and I'm watching that thing just bake, I always think, I wish I was like that baking. You know, if I go out into the beach, I could be just like the thing in my oven. I can just sit in the sun and roast. And you know what? What's awesome? When we put stuff in the oven, we baste it with something. So I'm just going to go to this place. Where could I be basted with something that would just stick to everything? Oh, I know. The beach. It has sand. It gets everywhere. It gets in every crevice of my body. That sounds like a fun idea. Let's sit in our ovens and baste ourselves with sand. Who thought of that idea? And then to cool off, you know what we do to cool off? Whose idea was it to say, you know what? Let's go cool off in the fish's toilet bowl. Who came up with that idea? Who was the first person that said, that looks fun? I don't get the beach. Like, it's just not my thing. I don't relax there. But every single year for the last as many years as I can think of, I go to the beach. There's a conflict inside of me. Why do I go to the beach? Because my authentic self loves my wife. And my wife loves the beach. And so there's some internal conflict. I don't like the beach, but because I love my wife, I end up doing something that I don't enjoy. And when I do it with a happy heart because I'm trying to enjoy my time with my wife and my family. So the question is, what is your authentic self? Well, here's what it means. This is what your authentic self means. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Your authentic self means what you say in life aligns with your actions. That's what your authentic self is. Your authentic self is not what you say, it's what you say and how you live out your life based off those actions. Your authentic self means that what you say in life aligns with your actions. But this is incredibly confusing because the illustration I just gave, I've got two things living inside of me. I don't like the beach, but I do like my family, so there's a conflict there. I'll give you another example. If you've known me for any amount of time, I've said this for years. I hate running, and my authentic self hates running. People say, well, you just need to run, and then you'll start to enjoy it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I've run a lot, and I've never enjoyed it. I've run 3 half marathons. I've run a 10K. I've run multiple 5Ks, and I still hate running. Well, why do I run? Why did I go through that? Because my authentic self would sit on the couch all day, every day, for 24 hours a day, and that's not good for me. So to battle my authentic self, I do something that is not authentic to me. So this is where it gets complicated when someone says, be true to yourself, just live out your authentic self. Well, what does that mean? It means that you live out what you say, but what if what you feel inside isn't what's best for you? And this leads to the second question that Christians need to ask. If you're not a Christian, if you're new to the church scene, you don't have to ask this question. You get to just sit back and relax. You don't have to take this down as a note. But if you're here and you're a Christian, this is incredibly important for us in discovering our authentic selves. What do you do if your authentic self isn't in agreement with God? What do you do if your authentic self isn't in agreement with God? Because all of us have conflicting things living inside of us. So how do we decide, well, which one is our authentic self? And what do I do if something that I believe is to my core is actually in contradiction with what God says? This is an incredibly important question for Christians. And we're going to look at what Paul says specifically about this. In Ephesians 4, we're going to start in Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 21. Paul writes, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So we're starting in the middle of a thought. He says, that, however. So he is expanding on something. What is Paul talking about here? Well, right before this, Paul talks about the Gentiles. And in Paul's day and age, a common reference for someone without God or someone that worshiped multiple gods would have been a Gentile. That is someone that didn't believe in God the same way that Paul did or the Jewish people believed in God. And he would say that they're just different. There's some things that are different about them. And specifically, he would say that the Gentiles live by a different moral code. That when it comes to morality, when it comes to making decisions, someone without God makes a decision based off what feels good. What's going to make me the happiest? What feels natural to me? But Paul says, listen, if you're a Christian, you don't live by that same standard. The standard that a Christian lives by, Paul says, is we live by the standard of learning what Christ says about us. He said it right there in verses 20 through 21. He says, you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So how do Christians find their authentic self? How do we find our authentic self? Step one is learn what Jesus says. Learn what Jesus says. That may sound simplistic, but it's incredibly important. Because our authentic self is not what we feel about ourselves, it's what God says about us. Our authentic self is not what makes us happy. Our authentic self for Christians is what makes God happy. And here's the truth, that I have some brokenness inside of me. I have some things that are just not right. There's some things that, there's some thoughts, there's some crazy ideas, there's some temptations that live inside of me. I have brokenness inside of me, but I do not define myself by my sin. I define myself by my Savior. Why? Because I'm not what I've done. I'm what? Who he says I am. I find my identity. Yeah, you can clap for that. So we have a rule. We don't have a lot of rules at Next Level, but we have one that says when one person claps, we all just need to clap because at this point, it's not about you. It's really about me. And I get insecure when one person's clapping about like a Jesus moment and then half the room's not clapping. And I'm like, what's going on here? So the rule is just clap. So if you've zoned out and you're like, I don't know what's going on, but people start clapping, just join in. Just go with it. Just go with it. I literally saw today a prayer that I thought was so profound, and it's a prayer that I want to pray over my life on a regular basis. I would encourage you to pray this too. The prayer says, God, help me to hate sin without hating myself. God, help me to hate sin without hating myself. Because so often we define ourselves based off what we've done, off of our actions, based off who we think we are. But Christians, that's not where we start. We start with defining ourselves based off who God says we are. We define ourselves based off what God says. The decisions that we make are not what feels good to us. It's what God tells us to do. So I want to keep reading to see what Paul says next in Ephesians 4, 22 through 23. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. This is why it is so important to know what God says about us. Because Paul says that our old self, the thing that's living inside of us, it is being corrupted by deceitful desires. That there is something inside of me that says, this will make you happy, this will make you feel good, but then when I do it, I feel horrible about myself. There's something inside of me that says, this is the answer to your life, but then when I go all in, I have regret. I feel shame about it. I feel embarrassed about it. I lie to myself. You lie to yourself. That's living inside of us, every single one of us. And so we have to be taught to listen to God's voice. We have to be taught to put into practice what God says about us. We take off the old self, which is being deceived, and we put on the new self, which is what God says about us. This is why it's so important. It's so important for Christians to pour into Scripture and to read Scripture and to believe what Scripture says. Because our own brains are deceiving us. And our own brains are telling us to do things that aren't in alignment with who God says we are. It's like this. If you're a Christian, I think you can relate to this. I actually think non-Christians can relate to this as well. But especially if you're a Christian, I think you can relate to us. Every single human being has inside of them two things of luggage. There's baggage. There's some good baggage and there's some bad baggage. And if you've ever been to the airport for like not just a day stay, but like you're going on vacation somewhere or you're going to stay somewhere for a long time, you've had multiple bags that you've brought into the airport. And you're juggling both of these bags. But there comes a point in your journey where you have to make a decision. Which bag am I going to carry on and which bag am I going to check? And the decision's already been made for you. The airline and the airport says there are certain standards that you have to follow. So I don't care if you love this bag with all your heart. I don't care if you were born with this bag. If this bag does not fit the airline standards, then you must check the bag. And then you carry on what you're allowed to carry on. So when it comes to being a Christian, we all have two sets of bags living inside of us.
And how do we decide which bag should I carry with me and which bag should I check? We do that by living by God's standards. God, just like the airline says, hey, these are the bags that can come on the flight and these are the bags that you have to check, God has given us those standards. And so when something feels authentic to me, but it's not according to God's standards, my role as a Christian is to say, I'm going to check that bag. I get to carry this one with me. This is the good in me that God wants me to carry around with me, but I've got to check. I've got to move on from that bag because it's not honoring to God. And that takes us to step number two. How do Christians find their authentic self? Number one, step one is learn what Jesus says. Step two, admit there is a problem. Admit there is a problem. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that's just who I am? You ever notice that no one says that after they do something good? Like, I've never had someone say to me, hey, can I come over and fold your laundry? That's just who I am. It's just inside of me. I've never had someone say, you know what? Can I give you $1,000? That's just who I am. People say that's just who I am when they are excusing a bad behavior in their life. Like when they yell at someone or when they're late all the time or when they do something that they're embarrassed about, they rationalize it and they justify it by saying, well, that's just who I am. And if you are the type of person, if you've ever said, that's just who I am, or this part of me, that's just who I am, if you ever say that, I just want you to do me this one favor. Please be fair and allow other people to live under that same standard. Like the next time someone cuts you off in traffic, don't get mad at them. Just say, well, that's just who they are. They can't help that they're a bad driver. The next time you are at a restaurant and you get bad service, don't get mad at them. You better make sure you still give them a tip because that's just who they are. They can't help that they gave you bad service. The next time someone's yelling at you, don't get mad. Don't get defensive. Just say, hey, you can't help it. That's just who you are. Because if you apply it to yourself, it applies to everybody. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that that's not the truth. There are certain things about me and about my personality that are not honoring to God. And those are the things that I've got to constantly work on checking and saying, this isn't coming with me. I may still try to hold on to this, but I don't want to. This is something that's in my life, but it's bringing me damage. So I'm gonna try to let it go. When we find something in our life that does not align with what Jesus says, we have a choice to make. Do I accept this part of me, or do I allow Jesus to change it? And here's why authenticity is so important for Christians. God does not change what we choose to ignore. God does not change. I didn't say he can't change. God can do whatever he wants. But God does not change what we choose to ignore. And the reason we ignore the broken stuff inside of us is because it's just shameful. It just feels bad to admit. And so what happens with all of us is we've got some things inside of our lives and we say, I don't like this. I know this is wrong, but I don't really know how to get rid of it. So I'm just going to hide this from everyone else. And I'm just going to hope that no one finds out that this is a part of my life. I'm just going to hope that no one ever catches me holding on to this. But the way for freedom is not hiding it. The way for freedom is authenticity to say, hey, this is a struggle in my life, and I'm doing my best to let go. But being a Christian doesn't mean that letting go of that is easy. In fact, I want to show you a clip from the television show The Office. It's no surprise that The Office is very near and dear to me. It's my favorite TV show. And anytime I can insert a clip from The Office into a sermon, I do that. And so this clip, in my opinion, speaks volumes to what we're talking about today. Check this out.
Well, if he's not going to make it, at least we should go ahead and eat the cake.
Yeah.
I, for one, love the corners.
Why did I just do that? It's not even that good. I don't even want it. I had cake for lunch. No, you know what? I've been good. I deserve this.
Oh God.
What am I doing?
Come on, Angelo.
Hey.
No!
Relate to that clip in so many levels. And if you're a Christian, there's something in your life that you can relate to. You've said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to hold on to this luggage anymore. But then when it's right in front of you, you're like, oh, I don't want to let go of it. No, I got to let go of it. Oh, but you know what? I've been good today. I can compromise. I can hold on to this for a little bit. No, I don't want to. No! But it's a struggle. And the struggle is inside all of us. Even if you love Jesus, you can love Jesus and still have some baggage that you're trying to let go of. Both of those things exist in us. And that takes us to what Paul says next in Ephesians 4:24. Paul says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we are to take off the old self, which is being deceived. We're deceiving ourselves. We're to take off, we're to let go of the old self. We're to check the old self. And we are to intentionally put on the new self. What's the new self? What's what God says about us? We are to let go of something and hold on to something else. Now, this is something that doesn't happen by accident. Like, someone doesn't start to look like Jesus on accident. It's just like this. When you make a decision to get dressed in the morning, that's an intentional decision. Like, you don't wake up and go down to have your coffee and say, how did these clothes get on me? I have no idea how I wore these. It's an intentional decision. I'm going to wear this on purpose. And so what Paul is saying is that inside of us, we all have this different luggage. We've got to choose, am I going to put on what's in this? Or am I going to check this because that's not honoring to God? And am I going to put on the things that honor God, which are in this? So how do Christians find their authentic self? Step one, learn what Jesus says. Step two, admit there is a problem. And that takes us to step three. Confess anything that is not in alignment with God. Confess anything. Why is confession important? Well, first of all, it's important to share with God. God, I know that there's times when I've held on to things that aren't honoring to you. And I want to show you that I know that by confessing and saying, hey, that was wrong. I'm sorry, God. Part of starting with God, part of the journey of having a relationship with God is confessing the things that we know aren't honoring to him. But scripture says that as Christians, we don't just confess to God, we also confess to one another. Why? Because this is such a big temptation that I will never find freedom from this unless there's other Christians who can hold me accountable, who can help me on the journey. As long as this is a private thing in my life, as long as I'm the only one keeping myself accountable, I will hold on to this way longer than I should. So confession is important because first we admit it to God, but then we admit it and talk to other people. And why is this important? Well, it goes back to what the definition of your authentic self is. Your authentic self means what you say in life aligns with your actions. Your authentic self means what you say in life aligns with your actions. So isn't it true that as humans, we have some things in our life that don't align with our actions? We say one thing, but we do something else. That's where confession comes in. That whenever I say something that isn't in alignment with who I want to be and who God wants me to be, I confess it. I don't hide it. I tell someone. Now, I don't tell everyone. I tell the right people. I tell people who aren't going to shame me. I tell people who are going to help accept me and say, hey, I'll help you through this. Not everyone can handle my confession, but there's some Christian out there. There's some Christian, whether you find them in one of our small groups or you find them by just volunteering at church or you find them on Facebook, there's someone in your life who you can be authentic with who's not going to judge you. They're going to accept you as you are, but they're going to encourage you to be the best version of yourself. That's why confession is so incredibly important. I'd like to add to this definition of an authentic self, because I think Christians find their authentic self in a little bit different way than anyone else. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down or feel free to take a picture of it on the screen. An authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self and, by God's grace, putting on the renewed self. An authentic Christian is not someone who is perfect. An authentic Christian is not someone who doesn't struggle. An authentic Christian is one who is both privately and publicly putting off the old self and by God's grace putting on the renewed self. The authentic Christian is someone who's willing to examine the dark parts of their life and say, that's not honoring to God. I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I'm not going to feel shame about it, but I am going to confess it to God. And I'm going to confess it to another believer. I like the quote by John Calvin. He says, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. We often don't know our own struggles or admit our own struggles because they're just hard to admit. It's hard to admit that there's some things in my life that aren't honoring to God, but I still like to hold on to. That's hard. But freedom comes not when we hide this, but when we let this go. That's when we start to feel freedom. But here's how I've heard authenticity mattered quoted to me, especially over the last couple years. When I've heard someone from Next Level quote authenticity matters, it normally comes right before they unload all of their issues with me or with our church. And they will say, one of our core values is authenticity matters, so let me tell you everything that you're doing wrong. That is a misuse of what authenticity matters. Authenticity matters, it is not to be used as a weapon to be just 100% transparent and just blast someone else. That's not what it means to be authentic. Authenticity means I'm going to start with myself. And I'm going to examine the things in my life that are not honoring to God. And then both publicly and privately, I'm going to confess those things and work on those things and try to honor God with my life. Authenticity should be used as a bridge and not a weapon. Authenticity is not a weapon to tell someone else, you know what, you're a jerk, I'm just going to tell you off, or I don't like this about you. That's not being, it may be authentic, it may be real, but that's not what we're talking about. When we say authenticity matters, what we say is that God's not going to change us until we're authentic and real, first with him, and then authentic and real with other people. And here's what's amazing. When Christians can be authentic, it actually draws other people to them. Like, I don't know anyone who, when a Christian is authentic, that says, oh, see, I knew it, all you guys are hypocrites. The reason we get the label of being hypocrites is because we pretend that we don't have any struggle inside of us. And the reason we get the label hypocrite is because we hide the things that we know we shouldn't be doing. But if we could have the courage to be authentic and say, you know what, I struggle. I mess up. And not just once in a while, not just like in my past, like I still struggle. If we could be real with one another, I am convinced that it would actually draw people in and people would say, oh, you struggle? Me too. I relate to that so much. That's your temptation. Wow, it's my temptation too. I love Jesus, but I have this struggle inside of me. And I hope that no one in this room and no one that's listening to our podcast online or watching our service online, I hope that none of you are ever involved in some type of public scandal. But can I just tell you that when a celebrity is in a public scandal, they almost always handle it wrong. In fact, just this last week, there was a baseball announcer who said some things that he didn't know his microphone was on, and so he got caught saying some inappropriate things. And in his apology to everyone, what he said is, that's not who I am. No, that is who you are. We know about it because the microphone was on, and you didn't know it was on. And authenticity is not denying that I got some ugly stuff in me. That's being inauthentic. A better apology would say, I got some junk inside of me and I don't like it. And I'm so thankful that I got caught because now I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to try to be better. I'm sorry that I let you down. But I'm not sorry that I got caught because I got some ugliness inside of me. And now you just saw it because the microphone was on. That is an authentic apology. And in your life, if you ever get caught doing something, don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. Don't pretend to say that's not who I am. You got to admit it. Yep, that's a part of me. And I hate it. I hate it. And I'm so sorry that I let you down with that. But here's my commitment. My commitment to you is to do my best to find the help I need, to let go of the luggage in my life that's not honoring to God, and to pick up and to hold on to the luggage in my life that is honoring to God. So that takes us to today's win. The win is, where is there a lack of authenticity in your life? We all have it. There's an area where we've hid it from someone. Where is that lack of authenticity in your life? Your authentic self means what you say in life aligns with your actions. So where is there some inauthenticity in your life? Would you confess that first to God, and then would you find another Christian who you can be honest with and say, hey, I'm telling you this because I know you're not going to judge me, and I know you're going to support me, and I know you're going to pray for me, and I know that freedom is found when I confess to another believer. So I want to be authentic. What would happen if Next Level was a place filled with authentic people?
you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are a God that sees every wrong, bad decision we've done, and yet you love us. And you don't just love some future perfect version of ourselves. You love the messed up versions of ourselves. But God, we cannot find freedom until we are authentic with you first. So I ask right now that you would start with us, those that are in the room right now. God, I ask that you would reveal to us what is inside of us that doesn't match who you want us to be. And God, would you give us the courage, would you give us the strength to let go of that and to find our identity in you. God, whenever you speak, we often become afraid and we rationalize it, we justify it. So we ask that you'd give us the courage to live out what you've told us to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.